Welcome to Headlock, where we wrestle with ideas from free market heavyweights like Hayek, Friedman, Buckley, and Flair. It's a no-holds-barred discussion promoting individual liberty, competition, and consumer choice while challenging soft-headed ideas from the left and right. Prepare for logic, humor, and the occasional figure four leg lock. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on.
Welcome to Headlock, the official podcast of the John Locke Foundation. I'm Mitch Kokai. Medicaid expansion has served as one of the key political issues in North Carolina politics. Governor Roy Cooper and legislative Democrats favor expansion. Republican legislative leaders oppose it. A recent study from the Foundation for Government Accountability, or FGA, adds more evidence to the debate. Joining us now to discuss that study is Roy Leonardson. He is Government Affairs Director at FGA. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me. And, you know, and I should add, Jordan Roberts, right here at your organization, John Locke, was also the co-author of our latest study. So we actually teamed up with you guys right here in North Carolina. You know, FGA is based out of Florida. We work in over 30 states, 501c3, but we partner with groups, particularly groups like you guys, which we value the input. So it's actually co-branded.
Aha. Well, the Medicaid study, obviously, this is something that's been a part of our politics,
that's right.
A key issue. And now your study is saying that, at least in terms of how it affects hospitals, Medicaid expansion is not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, you know, here's what's interesting. As the data starts to roll in here, we're 4 or 5 years into this, it's one piece of bad news after another for the folks that have expanded Medicaid. So if you look at it, it's almost like the four horsemen of the apocalypse here when it comes to Medicaid expansion. One is the enrollments are more than 100% off in the states that expanded it. So if you said you were going to have 100 people, you ended up having 200 people in your states. And unfortunately, when it's more like they said 200,000, they ended up having 400,000. And so every single solitary state that has expanded Medicaid has been off by a factor of more than 100% for the most part, some even much larger than that. So the enrollment numbers are wrong. So that's sort of the horse number one.
And when the enrollment numbers are wrong, it's not just there are more people, but it's
the
more
second
costly.
Horse. It bankrupts budgets. What we like to say is it almost Pac-Mans your budget. So think of things that you care about here in North Carolina. Your roads, your great university education, your top-notch K-12 education, bridges, public safety, you know, taking care of your environment, your beaches, the mountains. I mean, North Carolina has it all. Where do you think the money comes from to pay for Medicaid? It literally eats the other pieces of the budget. So, you know, we've seen in some states where the Medicaid budget now consumes almost 35% of the state budget. And so more than, you know, typically a state budget will be about 20% education. That's what's happened. It used to be 20% Medicaid, then higher education. That's reversed. So it's literally eating your budget alive. And there's nothing you could do because once you expand Medicaid, you're beholden to the federal government. So you've got the enrollment explosion. You've got the cost explosion. The other absolutely dreadful thing this does that folks don't realize is that if you earn between 100 and 138% of poverty, okay, $16,000, $17,000 a year, you are eligible to be on the Obamacare Exchange, which is a totally different federal program, for free, or maybe 10 bucks a month, depending on your income, but very minimal. That is private insurance. Okay, so if you're right now in North Carolina, if you're between 100 and 138% of poverty, you're not on Medicaid, you're on private health care for 10 bucks a month. If you pass Medicaid expansion in North Carolina, those people, and there are tens of thousands of them here in their state, are no longer eligible for the private insurance program. They are forced onto the welfare program. So I want people need to understand that. You are literally condemning tens of thousands of North Carolinians who right now have insurance in the private sector, paid for by the federal government with a small subsidy. It's against the law. You can't be on it. You are kicked off immediately and transferred to a Medicaid program, which is inferior insurance, okay? It's medical welfare. The other one is private insurance. So that's the third thing. You kick off people and condemn them to a life of welfare. And you know what the only requirement is? Stay poor. And that does not seem to be the kind of message that you want to be sending. The other issue here is, what does this do to your economy? You have over 250,000 open jobs right now, over in North Carolina. More than 40% of those open jobs provide insurance. You don't need able-bodied adults to stay poor and stay home. You need able-bodied adults to get off the couch and go to work. Medicaid expansion has the exact opposite effect of that.
Got bad incentives there. Bad incentives.
It removes the incentive to go to work. So it's really dreadful. And so to get to the newest information and Jordan and Nick's report on hospitals, I think one of the things y'all have been hearing is that this will save hospitals, particularly rural hospitals. That is a bald-faced lie. I would encourage folks to go to your website or the FGA.org and read this report. It is not a silver bullet for hospitals. Rural hospitals are continuing to close at an even greater clip in the expansion states. And not to get too wonky, but here's the problem. When you put people on Medicaid and they walk through the front door of your hospital, they're paying between 60 and 75 cents on the dollar of the cost. So every single person on Medicaid that walks through the door, that hospital loses money on that person. That's not a success model. And what happened is, I told you earlier, remember I told you all those people who got kicked off of private insurance and onto Medicaid? Well, people may not know this, but the private insurance folks, they're paying 150 to 250% of the costs. Okay, so they're subsidizing the other group. When you get rid of all these people who are private pay and put them on public pay, it's a double whammy, right? You're losing all that money. And then the other thing that happens is the usage skyrockets. So hospitals are then become inundated and can't afford to do business. And they're losing money. I mean, Colorado, you should look at the reports. Vermont, it doesn't matter the state. If you expanded Medicaid, your rural hospitals are closing and you're losing money. That's the key takeaway. And I think that's one of the most frustrating things, because hospitals are important to communities. I would argue that hospitals are actually not, the building is not important. It's the doctor, the nurse practitioner, the physician assistant, the nurses, the CNAs, all the folks that provide direct care are important. And so maybe rural areas are going to have to think about, are we in a big brick building, or are we sort of doing it the old way that we did it, in someone's in a small facility or a smaller clinic? So I think there's a way to provide health care. The Medicaid debate is not the one to have. It's not going to help.
Some people who've been following this debate will say, well, there's some pros and some cons of Medicaid expansion. If they listen to what you're saying, they're going to say, wait a minute, it sounds like it's all con, no pro.
Listen, these people are poverty peddlers. Don't forget that. They need people on welfare to establish their value. It's not about the value of the human being, the dignity of going to work and having a job and earning a paycheck and supporting your family. Their value outcome is, how many more people can we put on welfare or food stamps, right? The American dream is built on work. There's no other way to spend it. It is not built on a government handout. You know, ask yourself and the folks listening a very simple question. What would you be more proud of, your first welfare check or your first paycheck? That's the question for folks in North Carolina need to answer. Do you want to condemn someone to a life of dependency, or do you want to put someone on the path to the American dream? The American dream is built one paycheck at a time, not one welfare check at a time.
Joining us now with more on the issue of Medicaid expansion in North Carolina is the co-author of that report we've been talking about. Jordan Roberts is the healthcare policy analyst for the Locke Foundation. And Jordan, this has been something we've been talking about for a number of years here in North Carolina, whether to expand Medicaid or not. Your latest report gives more evidence to the not expanding Medicaid side.
Right.
How so?
Well, you know, what we wanted to look at in this report is, you know, Medicaid expansion supporters and, you know, advocates of more government health care, they like to describe Medicaid expansion as just this silver bullet that just cures everything. It would cure rural hospital problems. It would, you know, help out with all these other different things. It would create jobs. It would, you know, boon for economic activity. And so what we kind of wanted to do is take a step back, look at these claims and say, you know, are these really happening? And, you know, when we went through, we looked at, the biggest claim is about jobs, job creation at hospitals. And, you know, we went through and we looked at, some Bureau of Labor Statistics. And what we found was that a lot of states lost jobs in the first year. And, you know, if Medicaid expansion was this blanket, successful piece of policy, all these states would have gained jobs. And, you know, then we looked at some studies that looked at the overall finances of hospitals. And what these studies showed is that on net, there was really the effect was closer to zero when we get, you know, a much lower Medicaid expansion population or a Medicaid expansion population with much lower reimbursement. And so, you know, we kind of just wanted to say that, you know, not all these claims from lobbyists and Medicaid expansion advocates are entirely true, because we just don't see it in every state.
You finished your study long before the latest health issue that we've been dealing with, which is the COVID-19 coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But we have already started to hear some people say, in the face of the coronavirus, we need Medicaid expansion. Right. Medicaid expansion would have helped us better than what we have now. Mm-hmm. I suspect that given what you've looked into on Medicaid expansion, that you don't see that there would be any direct benefit from having expanded Medicaid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about, Medicaid expansion would give, you know, a significant amount more people health care coverage, but just having health care coverage doesn't always guarantee access to care, and it's not always the highest quality of care. So, you know, and, you know, just as a matter of principle, you know, I don't think we should expand long-term entitlements permanently in a time of crisis. I just don't think, you know, for the price of Medicaid expansion, what the immediate effect would be. It just doesn't make sense. There's ways that people who are uninsured can get access to care, get tests, and, you know, there's a lot of different plans in place right now to help those folks out. So, you know, just not expanding long-term entitlement programs for a short-term crisis.
It sounds as if in dealing with the coronavirus, the key issue would be expanding supply and finding ways to get rid of barriers that, mm-hmm. that limit supply, rather than saying, okay, we're going to put a lot more people into insurance.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, we know that there's a lot of policies in place that artificially raise the price of healthcare. And, you know, all these prices in healthcare are directly or indirectly related to the price of insurance. And what we know is that a lot of people that don't have insurance have been priced out of the insurance market. And so, yes, exactly right. We need to increase the supply, more competition. And, you know, that's how we think we can drive down these prices and, you know, create a more functional healthcare market where people aren't priced out and would need to, you know, be considered to be put on Medicaid.
So based on what you have seen about Medicaid expansion and the research that you just did about its impact or lack of impact mm-hmm. on hospitals and their finances, when people come to you and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but Medicaid expansion, it's going to be good for the state, what are the one or two things that you say to tell them, no, it's not?
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, overall, costs versus benefits. And, you know, we know that this is an expensive, costly program, about $2 billion, $6 billion over the first 2 years. And, the state, no matter what, is on the hook for that. And so it's just when you weigh the costs and benefits, there are other ways to go about this. And, Medicaid expansion, part of a failed Obamacare policy that was the Affordable Care Act that did not make healthcare more affordable. So it's just more of the same. And if we want to get serious about healthcare reform, expanding public insurance and entrenching the federal government into healthcare more is not the way to do that.
Jordan Roberts is healthcare policy analyst for the John Locke Foundation, and you can find all of his work on this topic and others at johnlocke.org. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've also heard from Roy Lenderton. We thank him for joining us, and we hope that you will join us again soon for another edition of Headlock.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. If you enjoyed Headlock, we hope you'll share it with your friends. In the wise words of Pinehurst native and WWE founder Vince McMahon, in America, it's live by the sword of freedom of expression and be willing to die by it as well. Until next week, enjoy your liberty, and remember, To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Woo!